This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Today, we bring you a debate with the candidates running for U.S. House in Michigan's 3rd Congressional District. Republican Justin Amash is the current representative for the district that includes Battle Creek and Grand Rapids. He is being challenged by Democrat Douglas Smith and U.S. Taxpayers Party candidate Ted Girard. The debate was recorded at the television studios of our public broadcasting partner, WGVU, in Grand Rapids. It will be shown on public television station WGVU Wednesday night at 6 o'clock with a repeat Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And now here's the debate, recorded Thursday, October 27th.
Welcome to Decision 2016, the U.S. House of Representatives debate among candidates in Michigan's 3rd Congressional District. From Cascade Township, the incumbent, Republican Justin Amash. From Belmont, Democrat Douglas Smith. And from Grand Rapids, U.S. Taxpayer Party candidate Ted Girard. This congressional debate was recorded October 27th before a live audience inside the studios of the Meyer Public Broadcast Center at Grand Valley State University.
Hello, I'm WGVU News Director Patrick Center. Welcome to today's debate. The candidates have drawn straws to determine the order for our debate. This debate is approximately 1/2 hour in length. Each candidate will have 1 minute for their opening statement, 1 minute to answer questions, and 1 minute for their closing statement. Candidates are also provided with 3 30-second rebuttals for use at any time throughout the question and answer period. Here to ask the questions are Jennifer Moss, WGVU's Morning Edition West Michigan host, and Gordon Evans, Assistant News Director, WMUK Public Radio in Kalamazoo. Now let's get started. Leading off with his opening statement is Democrat Douglas Smith.
Well, I think I'd like to thank WGVU for the opportunity to this to host this debate. And as you said, my name is Douglas Smith, lifelong resident of the district. And my background is in construction. I've been doing that for almost 2 decades in construction. What we have to do to complete projects is make sure we're meeting deadlines and coming in under budget, or our companies won't, you know, be able to continue to be in business. I want to bring that aspect to Washington, where it's mandatory that you meet your deadlines and that you balance your budget. We have a Congress that has the lowest favorable ratings in the history of our government, and I think we need to bring somebody in from the outside to present new perspectives, and that's what I intend on doing.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Now, Mr. Ted Girard, U.S. taxpayer candidate.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you, panel. And thank you for watching this evening. Ted Girard with the U.S. Taxpayers Party. I'm a Navy Submarine Force veteran. Been in business for myself as an electrical contractor for 17 years. And as Doug said, the requirements of completing projects and every day meeting goals and accomplishing tasks, maintaining a budget, spending in advance of a project to make sure everything's in place to get it done, managing employees, and managing subcontractors is all very relevant to what's going on in our nation. The Democrats and Republicans have been running the country for a number of years, and when you look at their budgets, it's a miserable failure. We're borrowing money every day and spending outside of our abilities.
Thank you, Mr. Girard. Now, U.S. Representative Justin Amash.
Well, thanks for hosting this debate. Thanks to everyone who's watching and listening. It's an honor to serve as your representative in Congress. I was born right here in Grand Rapids. I've lived here in this community my entire life, with the exception of my time in college. I believe very strongly in representing every person in this community. And that's why I have one of the most independent voting records in Congress. I've also never missed a vote in Congress. Out of more than 4,000 votes, I've made every vote give me the longest voting streak in Congress. I believe each day that we need to go there and make sure that we are following the Constitution, following the rule of law, and following the principles of liberty that made this country great. And I'm honored to be here having this debate, an honor to be serving as your representative, and I'm asking for your vote again on November 8.
Thank you, Representative Amash. Now we'll begin the Q&A session with WGVU's Jennifer Moss.
I want to thank you all for joining us today. Gentlemen, the nation has clearly experienced tragedy on both sides of the lines as it relates to the police shootings of African Americans and subsequent shootings of police officers in several states. What do you think that Congress should, could, or can do to deal with these situations and, quite frankly, race issues as a whole, being that the nation appears to be quite divided right now? Mr. Smith, we're going to start with you.
Yes. This is something that we really need to look at how our military is trained. They work in hostile environments, in foreign lands, foreign languages, where it's very hard to separate an ally from an enemy. And their understanding and their training behind the rules of engagement, I think we should bring in and need to institute into our police force here in our homeland and get them to have a better understanding of how to address these hostile environments and have true understanding of the rules of engagement. Having mandatory body cams on all of the police officers is something that we need to do as a federal government and have that a nationwide requirement so that they have protection on the civilian side and on the police force side as well.
Thank you. Mr. Girard.
I see this as an issue of respect. We have young men, probably 20 will be shot again this weekend in Chicago. And that's not because of the guns, that's because of lack of respect. Respect for self, respect for others, and an underlying respect for life. And we also have failed many of these young people with our education system. Not the classroom teachers who are working very hard to do a fine job in a system that handicaps them. We're moving people through our education system and graduating without even the ability to convert a percent to a decimal.
Representative Amash.
We need to build better trust between our communities and our police force. Most of our police are honorable people who work to keep our communities safe. But there have been some instances where we have some bad apples, and we need to make sure that our justice system is working properly so that there is justice both for the victims and for those who are accused. I think in a lot of cases we have communities that feel like the police force doesn't understand them or doesn't respect them. And I think, of course, that respect and that trust has to go both ways. But this is one of the reasons I'd be against greater militarization of the police. I think that's a bad idea, because it helps to sow more distrust in the communities where people feel more like criminals when they haven't done anything wrong.
Thank you.
Mr. Girard, there are a number of hot spots around the world right now, potential trouble spots. Can you tell us what you consider to be vital United States interests, and as a member of Congress, what conditions would have to be in place for you to vote to authorize the deploying of U.S. troops for combat?
To deploy U.S. troops, U.S. citizens, U.S. interests need to be in harm's way. Our vital interests throughout the world, as we've seen in the past, oil has really caused a lot of trouble for us and for other countries in conflict. And the issue of freedom. There are countries right now that are oppressed by terrorists. There are young people being raped and sold into slavery today in various parts of the world, and we as a nation of freedom need to stand against that.
Representative Amash, same question for you.
Well, in order to insert our troops into combat, you'd have to have a declaration of war or an authorization for use of military force from Congress, and during the Obama administration, we haven't had that. We've inserted our troops into places overseas and launched missile strikes on countries without having an authorization. I think that's a big problem, and it's unconstitutional. But we also need to speak to our community. So when there's a situation where we might be inserting troops into combat, we have to go back to our community and ask people in our community how they feel about it. People elect us as representatives to use our judgment, but there's one case where I think it's really important that we think about from a more direct democratic aspect how we vote, and that's when we want to insert our troops overseas and go to war. And so I want to make sure that we have a proper authorization and that we are defending Americans with our troops, and that the only other case I would consider it is if there was a case of genocide where one people is being totally slaughtered.
Mr. Girard, rebuttal?
Yes. You mentioned that Mr. Obama has sent our troops into harm's way without a declaration of war. What has the Congress done to stand in the way of that?
Well, I've taken several steps to stand in the way of that. I've offered amendments. I've offered different letters, and I've gone to my colleagues and encouraged them to stand up to it. Unfortunately, the Speaker of the House makes the decision ultimately about what comes to the floor. And at some point, you have to think about whether your Speaker is doing the right thing. And I think that both Speaker Boehner and Speaker Ryan haven't done enough to check the White House. They decide what comes to the floor, and they need to listen to Congress and the American people.
Mr. Smith, same question for you about when you would vote to deploy U.S. troops.
It has to be a last resort at all times. We've got into the way and pattern of being a war first, think last, or think next nation, and it's killing millions and millions of innocent people all across the world. As a son of two veterans, you know, the military is a priority, and respecting them and making sure that we have a military that's strong enough to defend ourselves is essential. But utilizing them to go all across the country or all across the world engaging in these wars, especially regime overthrows, is something that we need to scale back on. So we have to have people that are making decisions that are really looking at it from a humanitarian point of view versus trying to overthrow governments and get in there for reasons that a lot of Americans are scratching their heads over.
Okay. Some people have voiced concerns that the water crisis in Flint, it remains a crisis, though there aren't as many headlines as there perhaps once were. Back in September, of course, Congress staved off a government shutdown, passing a stopgap spending measure once the House agreed to address the drinking water crisis in Flint. Representative Amash, you were the only Michigan congressperson to vote no in support for Flint. Now, this issue comes back up in December. Do you think that there will be funding fully approved for Flint after the election? And if not, what should be done then to continue and to help the people there? And Representative Amash, we're going to start with you.
Yeah, so to clarify, there was a vote on an authorization, and I voted present because the legislation was changed at the last moment and violated equal protection under our Constitution. They changed the legislation, so instead of providing funding for Flint specifically, or a broad authorization to allow any community to access these kinds of funds when they face a lead crisis, they changed it so that only 100 communities in the country will have access to that. So, for example, if Grand Rapids or Battle Creek had a lead crisis, we would not be eligible under that legislation for those funds. And that's wrong. It violates the Equal Protection Clause. There are places like the whole state of Maryland, they'd be authorized because there was a list of just 100 communities. And so when we pass legislation, we have to follow the Constitution, and I will always stand up for my community and stand up for equal protection. Beyond that, it's important to also note that it's primarily a state of Michigan issue, and the state of Michigan needs to step up and do its job as well.
Will you help support Flint?
Absolutely.
In the end?
Yes.
Rebuttal?
I think you had the opportunity to help them, and you failed them. I grew up with a severely disabled brother, and to know that these children are being poisoned, at least 100 communities, we could start there, and then we could propose legislation after that to follow to help the any future disasters, and we're all sitting on a potential Flint crisis. And as a construction worker, I work with plumbers on a regular basis. This is a potential hazard across the entire country. to abandon the children and the women and men of Flint, I think, is a complete failure in your leadership.
Yeah, we swear an oath to support and defend the Constitution, and that's our primary responsibility. And when legislation comes to the floor, it needs to be drafted to comply with the Constitution. And I owe a duty to this district right here. And it would be wrong for me to support legislation that violates the rights of the people in my community, so that if they were suffering from a lead crisis, they would not get the same treatment as other places, whether it's Flint or the state of Maryland or Washington, D.C. All of those areas would be provided additional assistance, but the city of Grand Rapids, the city of Battle Creek, and the 3rd District of Michigan would not receive those benefits. And that's wrong, and it violates our Constitution.
Mr. Girard, your response?
I believe, if I remember correctly, the EPA lists Flint as 230th on the list as far as water condition. So there's 229 cities across the country that have poorer water quality than Flint. There are lead pipes in every city across the country, and we have additives that we put in the system to ensure that the interior of those pipes is coated. And somebody failed the people of Flint, whether they were connected to the Detroit water system or their own municipal system, somebody failed them by not wanting to spend the money locally to put those additives in the water. And when the government provides a service to the people, they have to be responsible, and we have to ensure that they do it to the best of their ability. And we need to hold people accountable when they don't do their jobs well.
Mr. Smith, you also have 1 minute.
Okay. When it comes to the people of Flint, as I had spoke a second ago, when their state government or local government has failed them and state government has betrayed them, they also pay federal taxes. Their last line of hope to safety, to life, is the federal government. And to sit there and use a fraudulent excuse and push it onto it being something to do with the Constitution, to not step in and help them, I think is a complete failure of leadership. I ask you, what catastrophe do we face in the future that you cannot depend on a representative like Amash to step up and help you or your family or somebody that you know when you're facing a life or death situation? And they want to say that it's the state's responsibility and not the federal government's responsibility. Last time I knew, I pay state, local, and federal taxes. And so when those two have failed and betrayed me, it's time for us to step up and help the people of Flint.
Mr. Smith, higher premium rates have been announced for the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare exchanges for next year. In addition, there are several counties in various states across the country. There's no competition, only one provider. If you are elected to Congress, how would you propose fixing that?
Yes, the Affordable Health Care Act got us turned in the right direction, and I think that was a big step. But we have to pursue, refine it, and keep building on top of that. And I think the single payer route would be the best route to go, and as well as opening up the competition, allowing us to bargain or negotiate our prices when it comes to big pharma. Too often we have a lot of special interest groups in our government, and that happens when you have people in Washington who's decided that it was in the best interest to represent their donors instead of the people that vote them in there and the people that write their pay their paychecks. So we have to allow us to negotiate those drug prices, single payer, and get big pharma out of our government and allow the representatives to make a decision that's best for the people and build on that Affordable Health Care Act.
Mr. Girard, your ideas for health care?
Our country's been built on private industry performing well to provide services to our public. There have been times that private industry has gotten out of control and had to be reined in by government forces, and I understand that. But returning our healthcare system to private industry with restraint and holding people accountable when they take the price of an EpiPen from $80 a use to $350 or $400 a use. There has to be accountability. but private industry has proven to be our best system for prosperity in this country.
Representative Amash, you are clearly on record as wanting to repeal the Affordable Care Act, but since Obamacare went into effect, there are now more people who have health insurance. Is there a way to keep them covered and yet make changes that you would want to make?
Yeah, there are ways to keep them covered, but it should happen at the state level, not at the federal level. Obamacare has been a failure. You've had premium increases. You have less competition. It's basically a program that was designed to favor big insurance companies. And we need to go back to a system that is more state-based. It should not be like the old system. That old system had flaws as well. We need a more competitive system where people can decide which doctors they go to and have a better understanding of the services they're paying for, rather than having it go just through insurance companies with a third-party payer system that we have right now, which disguises the costs. With Obamacare, you hear the administration now saying, well, don't worry, with the premiums going up, there are subsidies to cover those things. But the subsidies are paid for by taxpayers. And like all things that the government has gotten its hands on, whether it's education and a whole host of other areas, when you have the government handing out subsidies to cover the costs, you just have rising costs and you don't actually deal with the underlying problem.
We have a rebuttal from Mr. Girard.
Well, I'd just like to state that I see Obamacare going the same direction as Medicare. Right now, we're inundated with ads on the TV of, you have Medicare, and we know you can't afford to pay for more insurance, but oh, by the way, you need to buy this or this or this to fill in the gaps. So as soon as we get to the single payer plan, it'll be, oh, by the way.
All right.
We done here?
You got it? All right.
I'd like to add to his remark is preventative health care and investing into health care and getting as many people as we can insured early on will save the taxpayers a lot of money later on when we have serious issues, health issues that have been neglected for far too long. And ultimately, the taxpayers are still going to pick up that tab through them not being able to deny them health coverage. But now this tab is a lot more expensive and a lot more, it's going to require a lot longer of a time to get those issues addressed. But if we take care of the preventative maintenance and preventative health care early on, then we can catch a lot of that stuff and stop that cost from increasing so drastically.
Is your insurance program going to keep people from eating potato chips and at McDonald's and keep them from smoking and drinking and the things that we know continually cause poor health? Or are we going to continue to allow that behavior and just tell them to go see the doctor every year?
Those are underlying issues that lead back to allowing so many special interest groups into our agriculture, our food, and constantly getting legislation tailored to them that's causing health issues. So to sit there and take somebody's choice away from eating potato chips or candy or fast food, but going after these industries who are allowing these steroids and GMOs and antibiotics in the food, I think would be a better thing to address some of those health issues. And they're running rampant through our entire government with these special interests, and that's backbone onto the fact that we have so much big money.
We're gonna get in one more quick question, 30 seconds for this. If the election were held today, why would you or why would you not vote for your party's nominee, Mr. Girard?
I would vote for Darrell Castle because he has been in support of the Constitution for his entire public career since the Constitution Party was established back in the early 80s. He is a man of fiscal responsibility and of moral character.
Representative Amash.
I'm not voting for the nominee of either of the major parties. We need someone who's going to stand up for the Constitution, for the rule of law, for liberty, and who's going to act with integrity and character. And I don't think either of the major party candidates is fit for the office of the presidency.
Are you supporting any of the candidates?
I will support a candidate on Election Day, yes.
Okay. Mr. Smith.
I think that it's important that, you know, I support the Democratic ticket. Everybody has flaws, and the big picture is the fact of the Supreme Court justice and who is going to allow or who's going to be able to appoint those justices coming up. And so we have to look at that as being something that, you know, to have a grudge vote or a vote that's not going to support a candidate is going to potentially cost you the ability to have either conservative or liberal justices.
Okay. We now move to closing statements. Mr. Smith.
Well, I'd like to thank you again for this opportunity, WGVU, Patrick. And I again want to bring a new face, new ideas, common sense to Washington. I think a lot of us wonder if they have that there. And so, you know, I think when you're a representative, you have to lead by example. And Michigan and America as a whole has suffered massive losses of manufacturing jobs. And to have a federal congressman manufacturing his tools overseas and importing them, I think is a direct attack on the Americans and the residents of Michigan who need those manufacturing jobs to feed their families. Doing that is putting people out on the streets and not able to feed their family. And you have to live by example and lead by example when you're in that top position.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Mr. Girard, your closing statement.
This country was founded as a constitutional republic. The Constitution is the foundation for our rule of law. And as Mr. Amash stated earlier, if it's not constitutional, it shouldn't be happening. The Constitution restricts the federal government. It does not empower them. There are things the states need to do individually to promote business within those states, and there are things the federal government needs to do to get out of the way of the states promoting those businesses.
Mr. Girard, thank you. Representative Amash, your closing statement.
Thanks again to everyone watching and listening. My number one job is to protect the rights of the people, and I do it without regard to party. I'm an independent congressman. I have taken over 4,000 votes without missing a vote. I'm there every day to represent the interests of my community and to make sure that I stand by my oath to follow the Constitution. And I'm honored to serve as your congressman. I'm asking for your vote once again, and I want to thank you for all of your support over the years.
Thank you, candidates, for your time here today, and thank you for watching this Decision 2016 U.S. House of Representatives 3rd Congressional District Debate. So long.
The debate for the 3rd Congressional District, which includes Grand Rapids and Battle Creek, was recorded at the television station of our public broadcasting partner, WGVU in Grand Rapids, last Thursday. It will be shown on public television station WGVU Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, with a rebroadcast Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. You can find links to all of our coverage of the candidates and issues in this year's election by clicking the Election 2016 button under the News and Culture tab at WMUK.org. You'll also find stories from other news organizations and election-related news and comments from social media. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.